You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to ROFL!
The show about motivation and being yourself.
That's right. What does ROFL?
Reach out for love. The show about motivation and
love.
Being yourself.
Being yourself.
How do you be yourself?
How do you?
Let's find out.
What's up? What's up?
Hello.
How are you guys doing today?
How are we feeling? I know I am emotionally exhausted, so.
Oh, what's going on?
Long story short, because I don't want to get upset all over again, but basically someone came to clean the carpets at my place this morning, and as I was on my way out the door making small talk, he, pardon me as I move this microphone closer to
myself.
Is
it that regular guy that comes to clean carpets?
I don't know. My mom hires him, and he's local to where we live, so it just kind of works out, but we were making small talk, and in the course of telling him I work here at the radio station, doing all this work, doing full-time work on a part-time schedule type of thing, he jokingly, huge air quotes, jokingly, was like, oh, keeping the white man down, ha, 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 ha. And I saw red immediately, and I was so fuming that the only thing I could do to defeat the situation was leave, because I shouted at him and I said, no, that's not funny.
Oh, you guys got in a whole battle.
I didn't get in his face because I was just, my thing is, if I don't leave, I'm going to fight when right. It comes to this stuff. So I wasn't, and this was like this morning. This happened, and I've not been able to get my mind off of it because it's so frustrating. Yeah, it was literally like 9 something this morning. I had just woken up and just gotten dressed and like just had coffee.
How did he even get into that? Like, he just like randomly said that?
He and my mom were talking about other stuff, and I won't get into what the other stuff was, but it kind of gave me an off feeling. And then my mom is very friendly and will just like tell anyone kind of what's going on, you know? So it's just like, oh yeah, my son, he works here and does this and all that.
Oh, so like an off remark that.
Yeah, it was an off remark. He thought he was so comfortable in this space with two other white people that he could say this and think that it was going to like read well. And like for my mom, maybe because she's like a boomer. So like, A little racial humor or straight up racist humor is like, that's just gonna happen. I live in Boulder City. I'm like, it kind of explains itself. But that's not cool with me, and it's not cool with the fact that I work at this station, a jazz station that it's at UNLV, an extremely diverse, if not the most diverse, in terms of student populations in the country. Like, and it's not like, oh, I work here, so I want to stand behind just where I happen to work. I don't actually care. I do actually care. And it's extremely frustrating how instantly dehumanizing and how just as a joke, he felt like bringing up race and making it about race when it was about money and how much I'm making like per week or hourly is what's more important. And he wanted to immediately make it racist as a joke. And I just don't. I have no patience for it. I have a very, very short fuse for bigotry. And I won't go into it any further, but
right,
I made it clear how I felt and I left. And then driving to campus today, I was just crying, like hard, bawling tears, because people say really messed up things or as jokes because, one, they're probably not in that group that they're joking about. Two, they think that if they can say something without saying something, then they can get away with because, oh, I didn't literally say. And then also they don't put faces and names to these groups of people that they joke about. Not only are they punching down, but it's a mass of people and not literally people that I work around and have the pleasure of knowing every single day, human beings who are responsible for the station that he says he listens to and he enjoys. So if you enjoy this station at 91.5 Jazz and More, specifically we're on the HD2 right now, but if we were on the FM, and he's listening to that and he's a frequent enjoyer of what we do and what we make, he should know and understand that these are non-white people. These are black and brown people. This is a diverse campus, a diverse station. And I just...
No, it makes sense.
I'm just upset.
A lot of the offhand comments people make, they don't realize that there's actually a reason for concern based off of what we say, because it does have an impact. And sometimes it has an impact in things that we can't control. We have no knowledge of what it's going to turn into, what it's going to create, and down the line as well, too.
Exactly, because I was thinking about it this way. Sure, it's someone I was telling somebody earlier how I was feeling, and he was just like, man, it's really like you're letting it get to you. And I was like, no, it's just an inherently messed up thing. It should bother people, you know? And on top of that, to what you're saying, yeah, him making an offhand comment doesn't actually enact physical violence against a black person or any other person that he would disparage. But it's allowing it to go unchecked that kind of is that passive violence.
Right, exactly.
And if we allow, because, oh, you know, he didn't actually hit anybody. He didn't like any actionable anything. He's just a jerk. He's just a bigot. Like it's letting things go unchecked.
Because you never know. You never know what it's going to lead to.
Yeah. These people may not, he may not have thrown a hand towards somebody, but he votes.
Right, right.
And you know what I mean? Like, and he'll vote for whatever and whoever aligns with his values. And if something he's comfortable with is insinuating that the reason that I make as much as I make or am not making more than I should, to insinuate that it's because of the people I work around and because of black men and women specifically, that's not funny. That's not, obviously, I don't believe that he's right at all. He's not. But it's just gross. It's disgusting and it's infuriating. And these are the kinds of things that I'm passionate about enough that if I ever catch a charge for any reason, it will be...
It'll be because
I threw hands with someone being a bigot. And I mean...
That's just how the structure of society is. Like, it was built a certain way back then, and it's still being, like, that was the base of what it is now. Mm-hmm. All the changes that I've gone through doesn't mean, like, there's continuous change going on because there's just more and more change needing to occur as times change.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of top-down changes, sure, but to your point and to my point and what I think we're both kind of, where our heart is at when it comes to the way the world is knowing that the real changes, the real societal shifts that we want to see and that we're talking about right now are those that are going to have to come from the bottom up. We're talking about really restructuring, like demolishing, doing controlled demolition, you know, you refine and reorganize what's there but in the wrong places that could still be used and salvage the parts, you know. But then ultimately we're talking about fundamental bottom-up structural changes where we have different organizations of power, less hierarchies and more communities, horizontal structures instead of vertical.
Which would be so much easier for us if we actually knew a lot of the things that we are still trying to figure out these days as well.
Yeah.
Like there's so much information either hidden or just unknown that,
yeah,
you know, with us knowing that information would make a lot of this readily available, which comes back to keep studying, help us figure out this stuff that will help us get to those points.
Yeah, and it's to what we were talking about on previous shows about how frustrating it must be for all these academics and all of these incredibly intelligent and studied and knowledgeable people have done tons of research and tons of work into very interesting intersections of study. And a lot of that information is behind paywalls or behind class structures. And when it comes down to these people that did this research, that did these either qualitative or quantitative sciences and wrote these papers and these publications, they're dying for people to hear what they have to say and to like learn and to grow and to you know, use that curiosity that we're taught at an early age to really do something. And these authors want that knowledge to be spread to everybody. I mean, why else would you strive and struggle to and spend all this time for it to fall to completely fall through the cracks, and like no one even knows the stuff is out there. No one even knows that it exists or that it could be easily accessible, or there could be an abstract or
like little ideas that could be built on. Honestly, yeah. There's a lot that goes behind it, that you know, these offhand comments, these different types of senses of humor that we in psychology, like last time we were talking about how the mind works and right. stress, you know, we can bounce back off of that topic yeah. as well. But the stress that goes in, that comes into our lives can be a trigger almost, like when we hear comments like mm-hmm. that, like we'll be stressed out, we'll hear that comment and it'll just remind us about a bunch of stuff, and it could trigger a totally different thought that you never imagined to happen.
Yeah.
And it, you could turn into a serial killer.
You'll
like what?
What?
Not to go to the extreme.
Okay.
But,
is that how you're going to segue into talking yeah. about? Okay. So let's not just leave that hanging without any.
Well, I'll go ahead and explain, but I was watching an episode, and I'm one of those people who always tries to see like the positives and everything. So I have a hard time whenever I see a serial killer movie.
You're like,
show.
It can't be that bad. Like, they're not that bad of a person. He just killed somebody.
No, it's like so bad, but it's just, I'll always be like, oh, I wonder what, you know, made them get to that point in time in their life.
Like,
why
you have
would
some
they...
compassion for the fact that they couldn't have always been like.
Like there has
killer
to be
brain.
Something wrong with them,
yeah,
like
yeah.
for them to even get close to thinking
yeah.
like that. And the guy, the one I'm thinking about, his name is Brian Cohey Jr.
Okay,
I have never heard the story before. My sister knows that I'm like a softie to everything, and I'm just like, okay,
to like violence and stuff. You mean
no, not
what
to
do you mean a softie?
Softie to violence? How could you be a softie to violence?
Well, some people don't like like violent stuff, angry
oh,
stuff,
yeah, yeah,
bloody
yeah. Like,
stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like I'm one of those people. Yeah. So yeah, I was listening to the video, and then his mom and dad find like a whole body, or not body, like a whole head in the closet. And
oh.
They freak out. They call the cops, and then the mom's like hysterically crying. The dad has no idea that his son would even do something like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like. I was trying to like figure
like, who
out.
Who would though? Who would be like, oh
no,
yeah, my
course.
Kid's definitely is.
But his dad apparently found like the driver's license of the guy that he did.
Oh jeez.
Like in his possession. He's like, who is this? He's
who
like, I've
this?
Got no
Why
idea.
Why do you have this?
It's just wild to me. Like I at first I was like, okay, he's got ADHD. You know, he's neurotypical. Like he's on the spectrum. Okay?
Oh, so you mean neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent, sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
So he's on the spectrum, and I'm thinking, okay, all right. So maybe because he's like, I wasn't feeling well that day. So I'm thinking, okay,
yeah,
manic,
bad,
definitely
bad, bad
manic.
Mental day. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, but then he's like describing how he's planned it out 6 months ago, that he's been like driving around town, finding situations where it could happen,
like scoping out,
scoping.
Like,
that was the scary part. I was like,
yeah,
what do you
the
mean?
The part
you're
where
scoping?
It's just like. Oh, you're planning. He's describing actively planning like the context of the murder
right.
scenes, and you're just like,
right. And I didn't like watch the whole thing, but like while I'm watching, I'm trying my best to be like, all right, what could possibly be
wrong?
Why?
I'm
because
sorry.
The thing is, when he was talking to the cops, he was giving them every detail, and he was like, I want to be as available to you guys as possible and let you know everything that's going on and everything
like
that happened.
Okay.
So he's like, I don't want you guys to have to like fight me for the information. I'll just give it to you. And he's like,
so he thinks he's doing like, he's being like very like morally upright about helping the police with the investigation against him.
Right. Like, you know how.
Was he naming himself at the same time?
Like, yeah, he gave them everything.
He was like egging them on to be like, just catch me type of stuff.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he already was caught. He's like, oh, since he was going caught. To jail.
Oh, okay.
He's like,
okay.
Since I'm going to jail, here's all the information that you possibly
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a cat and mouse, like Zodiac Killer type of thing where it's like, oh, try to catch me. Like, I want to help. Right. I want to help you catch me, but you'll never catch me.
No, yeah. Okay. No, this one was, hey, I did it.
I did this.
Yeah, and he's just like explaining. He's giving him every detail. He's telling them his every thought. Every thought, of too. Course. Not yeah. even every detail, just yeah. every thought he had. Yeah. He's like, and I didn't want to go this way because I was thinking someone might see me. So I went that way, and then I wore a mask. And then he's, oh, is it for COVID? I guess you could say that. And then you look at it, and it's a Michael Myers mask.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Crazy.
That okay, I'm not gonna lie, but like out of context, just oh, I was wearing a mask. Oh yeah, for COVID. Yeah, you can say that hard cut to just Michael Myers mask. That's
yeah,
actually,
they did that.
That's actually
that's
kind
how
of,
they
that's
did
funny.
That's why yeah, the morbid but
it
the sad
be
thing
funny,
is
but it's funny.
We have a humor like in that morbid humor system.
Yeah,
humor,
it's a cope.
But so did he.
Yeah.
That's
but
the
he's
scary
actually
thing.
Gonna do it. Yeah.
Yeah, but he actually did. Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
That's so terrifying.
So that was really interesting. And his friend said, oh yeah, he would always say or we would joke around, say if anyone killed anyone or ended anyone, you know,
yeah.
That we would it would be him.
Yeah.
But we were just joking. They were like, we're just kidding. We were just joking around. And then he would say random remarks where like, I don't know, he did a lot of signs. There were signs that led up to it. But
usually
the thing,
there would be. What did he like torture animals and stuff?
Apparently, yeah, cats.
I was yeah, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say a lot of a telltale sign of like murderous or like psychopathic or sociopathic or anything where like, oh, we think that they could be a danger when they get older to the public is like having a history of like abusing
animals
killing animals. Yeah. I knew a kid in high school who this is gross content warning who had killed a cat and hung it up on a fence by one of the sport fields.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I knew that kid. I was like, I hung out with that kid. Very, like, one time.
It's so scary because the reason why I'm bringing this guy up is because he said that he did that to the homeless dude because he's like, no one really cares about the homeless. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
That you know who doesn't care about homeless people? Random people who have random remarks.
Yeah.
Those are people who are like, oh, no one cares about homeless. Oh, no one cares about prostitutes. Oh, no one cares about, like, because they're like, oh, in society, they're viewed as like a lower class.
Yeah. When you treat someone like an other, then it's easy to dehumanize them. Like, that's part of the process.
Right. So in his mind, somehow, like,
homeless people aren't people.
He dehumanized. And I'm thinking, yeah. That didn't come from him. It had to have
he had
been
to learn
heard.
That. Yeah.
He had to have heard that.
I was going
to
say, the moment that you kind of brought that to my attention before we started, my immediate like response was, oh, Patrick Bateman in American Psycho.
Uh-huh.
Like literally like seeing other people as disposable and like feeling like there's a moral imperative or like a social good being done if this homeless person didn't exist or like who cares about this group of people.
And there's like studies going around just trying to figure out these people and why they think certain ways. But the scary thing is this kid, he's like 19 years old.
Okay.
He studied other serial killers too.
That happens a lot.
And I was just like, oh my goodness. So is this like a mentality?
But it's a culture, I think.
It's just very weird. Because also another thing is he said, oh, since you guys found out about this, I'm probably going to go to jail for 15 years, right? And then he ends up obviously going full life term in prison.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because it's like, what at what point would it be okay for him to go back into public after all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like, yeah, seriously.
It's like, it's very sad though. So I was feeling bad for the guy and then I kept watching and the more I watched, the more I'm like, okay, yeah, this is making a lot more
yeah,
sense.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The longer you watch, the more you realize you're like, I can have compassion.
To a limit.
To a limit. Like, yeah, if someone by way of whether they're born that way or they're conditioned that way and socialized that way or whatever happened, that they've come this far and basically are this like psychopathic person. Like there's still a human being there.
It's right,
just
because
that,
their parents,
it's
his
just
parents
that human,
are it's, such good people. Like they
it's
look
just
like
that human
people.
Being happens to suck. So it's like, what do we, how do we Like, how humane do we treat someone who, given free rein to do whatever they want, would do inhumane things?
Yeah, because I was also thinking, I was like, we do inhumane things all the time by killing animals, no offense to us.
Yeah, there is
like,
that.
We do terrible things to animals, so like, society definitely failed the homeless guy, because apparently he was working. He had a job. He was still homeless.
A lot of people are working homeless as well. Yeah.
But so there's that. That happened, and I just got me thinking about our last conversation about stress. The working class, because the homeless guy was working full time.
Yeah,
that's actually really sad. He was still homeless after working for so long.
Yeah, if there's not a better like living example of, we just need like our universal basic needs met. Like, there's no excuse for it. It's stuff like that. You can be working full time and still not be able to like afford or be eligible, which is also horrible, for housing.
Yeah.
Imagine the phrase cost of living is just so ghastly when you really think about it.
It really is. And the more we think about it, we get degrees. Mm-hmm. You got to have experience with those degrees. Even with the experience and the degrees, you still have a hard time finding a job in today's economy, which is extremely demotivating, which is why we're here to motivate you guys.
Yay!
The motivation
motivates you to learn about serial killers and don't be one.
That's what makes it funny.
And hire your local blue collar workers, but don't allow them to say racist things inside your home.
Right, because you don't know what those remarks will lead to.
Exactly. Well,
you know, I
was going to say, I can imagine what other things he thinks that he doesn't say. But
and there's a lot of coping methods that we go through in order to deal with stressors. Like, actually, in that same episode, there was a cop. He told them where he put the limbs of the individual that he ended. And they went to go find them. And one of the cop ladies, they were like, oh, we found the limbs. They're right here, like in plain sight. Uh-huh. And then she starts laughing like out loud in the documentary. And that's like a trauma response.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah, so that's like a coping mechanism that we, our sense of humor, just, I guess. That's what she was like, so shocked that she's like, what do you mean they're right there?
The juxtaposition of like intentionally scoping out victims and where it can be done and this and that, the other. Right. And then, hey, what's the plan once I've got these limbs? I don't know. I'm just going to throw them on the ground, tell them where they are.
That's crazy.
That's what's funny. It's not the actual, the murder that's funny. The murder's not funny.
I feel bad for the mom. The only reason I brought this up is because you were saying about those off-put remarks. And it's just like, there's a lot of damage that comes into our words. Like, our words have so much power.
Yeah. I feel like when I was a little kid, the mentality still was like, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And like, we're told that when we're little kids and what we have like playground teasing to deal with, but like in reality, like, words matter and we ascribe meaning to them for a reason. So a lot of times I'll find when I bring things up to people about like, actually it's messed up what you said, because these words either mean this by definition or have this colloquial context or have this connotation, or were the historical aspect of certain vocabulary words can actually like indicate that they were made or invented or used and normalized to be harmful. So maybe we just learn better than to use them.
Right.
It's not hard saying, it's not like, here's a bunch of vocabulary and now we're deleting certain words. It's like, here's all the vocabulary and here's why you shouldn't use certain words in certain ways or at all. It's there, it's a choice, but that doesn't mean you should make it.
Right.
And the more choices we have, the better choices we can make. So
yeah, and the good thing, the news that I would bring up to make it recent, this Ramadan, if you do celebrate Ramadan, that's a great lesson for us to also keep in mind. watch what we say when, because like when you're hangry, you know, it's just saying, for those of you guys celebrating Ramadan, be careful what you say, because you don't know what those words, like how much power. Don't be like me and just think about the person who was the serial killer, like Brian Cohey. Think about also, who did he kill? Like the Warren Barnes, that's the guy's name.
Warren Barnes is that guy?
Yeah, he's like a 69-year-old man. Like, know every little detail of every little thing, even though it seems little now, it could be something bigger later.
If someone's telling you that someone else in the story doesn't matter, then you really need to find out who the other person in that story was.
Right, exactly.
It's the same kind of token as, you know, we hear that, oh, history is written by the winners. It's like, that's the worst. We don't want history written by winners. We want history written by everybody who ever experienced it. You know, if we only take the winner side of things, if we only take the might is right type of mentality to history or to learning or to anywhere, we are blatantly ignoring and erasing other people, other cultures, other historical events. We're only causing harm.
Speaking of event, I'm going to just
piggyback segue. Off of that.
I finally did it. Reb Fest tomorrow, guys, March 28th, 2024, from 2 to 9 p.m. at the Student Union. You guys could check it out, where there's going to be live music, games, free entry, food. This is not like a paid promotion. I'm just telling you guys, because I'll probably be there.
I was going to say, it's like happening right outside the building in the courtyard.
It's going to be fun. Meet some cool people, maybe like find some cool knickknacks, snacks. Unless you're fasting for Ramadan like me, then just go hang out and have a good time with people, meeting people, networking.
Nice. I'm not familiar enough with Ramadan to know a lot of the practices. So the whole fasting thing is like, it's a certain time of day you don't eat, right?
We actually just, when the sun's not up, that's when we don't eat.
Okay.
And we don't drink. But then when the sun goes down, there's like a certain time we all start fasting. We start eating, not fasting. We finish the fast.
Oh, okay.
And that's for 30 consecutive days.
So you eat at nighttime and then fast during the day?
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, exactly. And then at the end of the month, we celebrate all together and you're supposed to pray and like be doing good things for the community and learning more about yourself. So when you were saying about, learn more about what your words can do and how powerful they are, you know, that is something that we do. We do a lot of self-reflection during the month as well.
Nice. All right. Cool.
So, go have fun, guys. There's that event. And then there's some cool other events as well. Next time we'll talk about some events that we went to. I'm going to talk about Anime Las Vegas. And then Wesley's probably going to tell us another one of those cool.
I went to a show.
Yep.
Yeah. when I went and saw Germ and Knight Lavelle at Area 15.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Oh, any Suicide Boys fans out there, G59 fans out there, what's up? Throw your sixes up. But that's about it.
All right. All right. Well, I'll see you guys later. See you guys tomorrow at Reb Fest.
Have fun, guys.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for watching ROFL, Reaching Out for Love with Bosma Maria.
If you want to check us out, please go to Bosma T at Instagram.
See you guys later.